want to thank you guys for inviting me here. It's good to be back in Katyville. And the passage of scripture that was just read, I'll tell you, these guys are mind readers. Do you know that's the passage of scripture I'm preaching on today? Now, when you hear a scripture like that, you might kind of go, it doesn't say a whole lot to me. But when you begin to delve into it, you realize it has powerful, powerful truth that's going to get our minds and it's going to speak to us. Now, I've been a pastor for 46 years, so that sounds like a long time, doesn't it? Some people here, Nick, aren't even that old. As a matter of fact, I remember when my wife babysat you years ago. So I've been around a little bit. But you know what impacts me? Is often we see things only as they are. And I remember going into my very first church, Pine Meadows, walked into the parsonage, and in the middle of the floor was a pot belly stove with a pipe that ran the whole length of the house out to a chimney. And my wife said to me, "Don't see what is. See what can be. Don't see what is, see what can be." And then after I pastored that church for 7 years, I resigned from that church because the Lord kind of hit me with a 2x4 over the head and said you needed to, and I went to a church plant. I was moved into a trailer. Needless to say, a trailer from a full-size house, because while I was there at Pine Meadows, we built an upstairs, and it was beautiful. And we moved into this trailer, into a trailer park, Otto's Trailer Park. At night, you would hear these boom, 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 this big bass drum that would vibrate throughout because the beer joint was just at the beginning of the trailer park. And we had to say to ourselves, on Lansing Corners Road, where there's this old church, "Don't see what is, see what can be." I went in and I had a group of people. The church was dying, and I was to start a church. And I'll tell you, starting a church from a church that is dying is not easy. And when I say choose life, what I'm trying to say is it's how we see things. The people I was working with saw death. They didn't see the life that Jesus has. I had to begin to change their thinking. I went there in 83. By 85, we had built a church on City Line Road, and that Easter Sunday, we had over 100 in that service. Don't see what is, see what can be. And in our minds, we have ways of looking at things. And my encouragement to you is choose life. See what God has in store for Katyville. Because God's not done with you guys. I believe that from the depths of my being. And when I knew I was coming here, I prayed for you guys. And it's like, my people have learned that I always preach before I preach. I haven't even started my notes. And I have no idea how long this service goes on. When am I supposed to stop? Perfect. When I can no longer be heard, you know I'm done. But my congregation says they sometimes like my message before my message because they say, "Pastor, you're just talking to us." And that's what I'm doing right now. I'm talking to you guys from my own experience, from what I've seen, and what I know the future holds. You go to John chapter 11, and there you have Mary and Martha coming to Jesus. If you'd been here, my brother would not have died. If you'd been here, my brother would not have died. But I love the words that Jesus speaks, because Jesus speaks words of life. In John 11:25, Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life." Now, that Greek word is zoe. Zoe, life. Choose what? Choose what? Hey, you know, you're going to respond to me. I'm not going to let you just sit there. So when I say choose, what are you going to choose? And you, yes, we choose life. So Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. And the question comes to us, do you believe this? From the depths of your being, do you believe that Christ is not done with Katyville? Christ is not done with this church. Christ wants to come and renew. But you know how renewal comes? Only as God works on me. Now, I want you to know that my wife and I are very good at having devotions. And one of the things that I would encourage you, if you want to see life here, is begin life in your own individual lives through devotions. My wife and I have together read through the entire Bible again and again. Now, tomorrow we observe our 24th wedding anniversary, 24 years of being together. And I think of that and I realize we have read through the Bible together as a couple again and again. As a matter of fact, we have taken the book of Colossians, and through our devotional time, we have memorized the book of Colossians. Do you know how many chapters are in Colossians? Yeah, four. There are four. But when you think of that, how do we do that? Daily, daily. Do you know what we also do? And it would be an encouragement to you guys, is to pray through the people of your church. Pray for people that need Christ. My wife and I, on a daily basis, we have a pictorial thing of our church, and we go through and we pray for the families of our church together. And because we don't do the whole church every single day, we pick out certain families, we know certain needs and things like that. And so the key to my message this morning is recognize we need to choose life. So let's get to our text. Our text is in Isaiah chapter 25. But before we actually read this, let's just look to God in prayer. Gracious Father, we are here this morning expecting you to come in your might and your power, your transforming power. Help us to see that you want to do a fresh work in each of our lives. Help us to hear your truths from your word this morning, Lord Jesus, and impact our lives for you. We pray this in Jesus' most wonderful name. Amen. So the title of my message is what? Choose what? Yes, choose life. Jonathan Cahn, I don't know if you know him, but I truly believe that Jonathan Cahn is a prophet for today. Jonathan Cahn speaks truth. He's a Messianic Jew. He understands Hebrew. Now, I'm very good in when it comes to Greek, because I've spent many hours studying Greek, but when it comes to Hebrew, I had the opportunity at Hope in College to take Hebrew, but I kind of went, now after Greek, Greek was enough. But reading Jonathan Cahn, he's a Hebrew scholar. And when he writes in his book, The Book of Mysteries, he keeps coming up with words that speak powerfully. And actually, this message comes from some of the concepts that he shared in that, the Book of Mystery. So let me share a picture of a funeral in a desert. In this, from his book, he states, from a mountain in the distance, we watched an event I had never before witnessed in my days in the desert, a funeral among tent dwellers. It was a simple event, a burial in the sand with a single stone and a palm leaf to mark the grave. We were silent for a time. Then he spoke. Death, said the teacher, the shadow that hangs over all who live in this world, the destroyer of creation, the ender of our time on earth. As we see it from here, life is for a limited time. And then comes death. And death is permanent and forever. But, aren't you glad there's a but there? But the sacred tongue of Scripture holds a revelation of life and death. Scripture holds a revelation of life and death. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is what? Death. Death in the Greek, thanatos. Death. It's in the singular. Death. When you think of that, death. Wages of sin is death. Any action that is contrary to the word of God leads to death. Go with me to Colossians 3, 5 through 8. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the one life you once lived. But now you must rid yourself of all such things as these. Anger, rage, malice, slander, filthy language from your lips. Powerful truth. Put to death those things. There are sins that leads to eternal death. We as believers need to avoid those things and choose to live in the light of God. I like Ephesians chapter 5, verses 8 through 16, because it talks about the importance of living in the light. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light, for the fruit of light consists of all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them, for it's shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible, for it is light that makes everything visible. This is why it is said, wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Every day that we live, we have choices that we make, either to live for God, honor Him with our lives, or live for ourselves. That is doing our own thing, not realizing that in that we are living for Satan. When we live selfishly, we're not living for Christ and honoring Him. And by doing our own thing, we choose to live in darkness. So I come to my title, Choose Life. Choose to live in the Lord. Choose to walk with the Lord. Now, because many of you probably have not studied Greek, from the Greek perspective, I really enjoy 1 John 1:7, because it says, but walk in the light, as He's in the light, and you will have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus purifies you from all unrighteousness. That word purifies you from all unrighteousness. It talks about the fact, as we make choices to walk with God, it's going to improve our fellowship. It's going to improve our church. It's going to make a difference in our community. See, fellowship is key. That's why the breaking of bread, the eating together is so important. And that's why I was glad to see that you're getting dinners together. Why? Because you're breaking bread together. You'll have good fellowship. And when you have good fellowship, you have body life. When you have body life, it's attractive. When it is attractive, people will come. It's simple. But if we walk in the light, that is walk in obedience, as He's in light, we'll have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, this is a key point. I shared it with my people many times, and I share it with you today. But if we walk in the light, as we walk with Jesus in obedience, His blood purifies us from all unrighteousness. That's an ongoing truth that we need to understand. As I walk in obedience with Jesus, there's something that continues to go on in my life. Jesus continues to purify me. So when we say we are a holiness church, what does that mean? It means that we are a people that are choosing life. We are a people that are choosing to walk with Jesus on an ongoing basis, recognizing that I need the blood of Jesus to continue to purify me. Because it's not something we can do ourselves. It's what Jesus does for us. Choose life. So let's get to our text. When you take a look at Isaiah chapter 25, listen to verse 1. O Lord, you are my God. Ooh, do you catch that? O Lord, you are my God. The personal, relative nature of the thing. You are my God. I will exalt you and praise your name. Didn't the worship team do a wonderful job today in leading us in worship, in leading us in praise, in leading us in recognizing what God Almighty does for us? Powerful truth. I will exalt you and praise your name. For in perfect faithfulness. Now, if this was the New Testament, that word perfect would be teleos. When you hear the word teleos, I often think of the word perfect and go, I can't be perfect. But when I see it in the Greek, teleos means fully developed in the things of God. And so when I see perfect, no longer do I see it as an unattainable thing, but when I see teleos in the Greek, I go, oh, God desires that I be fully mature, fully grown up, fully developed in the things of God. And I go, I can get a hold of that. Another translation of the word teleos is mature. And I go, yeah, I like that much better than the word perfect. But here, when it's talking about God, perfect faithfulness, you have done marvelous things, things planned long ago. So looking at our passage, you are my God, that personal choice, I exalt, I praise your name. And when I think of that, my wife and I are back reading in the Old Testament. We've been through Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, we're now in Numbers. And one of the things that catches my attention as we're reading through that, all the sacrifices they had to do back then. I'm so glad as a pastor, I don't have to remember all those things that those priests in the Old Testament had to do. Because my job is to share with you what Jesus has done for us. Remember, his sacrifice was what? Once and for all. And so we lean on that. But did you know that we as believers are to be offering sacrifices to God? Because we are. For listen to Hebrews 13, 15 to 16. Through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that confess his name. And do not forget to do good and to share with others, for with such sacrifices, God is pleased. Then we go to another couple verses when we're thinking of living sacrifices, Romans 12, 1 and 2. Therefore, urge your brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Have you ever thought about that? My life needs to be a what? A living sacrifice for God. So as we praise God, we realize that we are offering sacrifices of praise to God. So we as believers need to be thankful that when we sin, we can go to God in prayer and ask for forgiveness and know that he forgives us. A verse that you're all familiar with, right? Probably many of you could even quote it. 1 John 1:9. If we do what? If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and might, that's not what it says, and will forgive us of our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Do you realize that verse is for us as believers? I had a professor at Houghton College that said a long time ago, and it stayed with me all these years, And that is, we need to remember the fact that we never grow so far in our Christian lives that we can't kneel at the foot of the cross and say, God, I sinned. I need your forgiveness. Did you hear that? It doesn't matter how long you've walked with the Lord. It doesn't matter all the good things that you've done. What does matter is that you never get to a point where you can't say, Lord, I just need you to touch me again. I need you to cleanse me. You know, maybe the way I spoke to somebody, or maybe some action that I did has hurt somebody. God, forgive me. As believers, that's all right. We can ask him to forgive us, and he will. We need that personal relationship with Jesus Christ. We offer thanks to God. We praise God with our lips. We surrender our lives to Jesus as living sacrifices. And our goal is to honor God with the things that we say and the things that we do. Colossians 3:17 says, and whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So another thing that verse 1 says that sticks and jumps out at me, you have done marvelous things, things planned long ago. Did you know the Bible talks about before the foundations of the world, salvation was planned? Before the foundation of the world, a plan of redemption was placed. Think with me of God's deliverance. Tom McCann has been doing a lot in talking about the Exodus and talking about God's faithfulness and God's marvelous, wonderful deeds. Think of the 10 plagues that impacted the Egyptians. I mean, brought them to poverty, brought them to their knees. But one of the things that I find reading through Exodus is the fact that so many of these plagues and things that were hitting the Egyptians, the Israelites were spared. God's hand of protection was on them. And that is really given to us clearly in the Passover, right? Absolutely. Because think of the Passover. Moses shared with the Israelites what they needed to do. They needed to get the lamb. They needed to sacrifice the lamb. And the blood of the lamb needed to be on the door frame of the house. I often think of the putting the blood on the door frame as, you know, you have some here and it goes down this way. And you put one here and here and it forms the cross looking ahead to the Passover lamb in Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. And when that death angel went through Egypt, the firstborn from Pharaoh all the way to the lowest perished. But with the Israelites that walked in obedience, that listened to the instructions, that followed the instructions, and what am I saying there? We have instructions we need to follow, right? Yeah, God's word gives us instructions we need to follow. The Israelites were spared God's marvelous deeds. They get to the Red Sea. The army begins to pursue them. God puts a barrier between the Egyptians that are in darkness and the Israelites that are in light. What does God also do? He parts the Red Sea. The Israelites walk through on dry ground. The Egyptian army decides to follow. God closes it. The army is destroyed. Think with me, the marvelous things that God does. He provided manna. He provided water. Their clothes did not wear out. You read about all the God has done marvelous things. Those are things we need to remember and recognize, all the things that God has done. You get to the promised land, and again, all the marvelous things that God has done. All the Old Testament leads to the coming of Christ, who is the light of the world. When Jesus speaks, we hear truth, right? Jesus is the truth teller. Do you remember in the King James where you would hear, verily, verily, I say unto you, as a kid, I had no idea what those verilies meant. but I do appreciate knowing the Greek. There's two Greek words, amen and amen. What do we understand amen to mean? So be it. When Jesus speaks, so be it. When Jesus speaks, I tell you the truth. When Jesus speaks, we can hear and we can believe and we can move forward with him. John 20, 30 and 31. Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not recorded in this book, but these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. Wow, that was a long first point. Sorry about that. I'm only getting to my second point, and it looks like time is almost gone, but I'm not going to stop there. I'm sorry. My people understand that when I get preaching, they just bear with me. And I don't see too many people often getting up and walking out, which is a good sign, because maybe if they did start getting up and walking out, I might have to do something. But the next thing I want to point out to you is God is our refuge. I don't know if you noticed it here in our scripture, but in verse 4 of our text, it says here, you have been a refuge for the poor, a refuge for the needy in his distress, a shelter from the storm, and a shade from the heat. For the breath of the ruthless is like a storm driving against a wall. So it talks about God being a refuge, a shelter, a shade. All terms reminding us of God's protection. There's a whole psalm that talks about God's hand of protection upon his people. Have you heard of Psalm 121? I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going both now and forever. See, Israel faced countless foes that wanted to defeat and destroy them, but God watched over Israel. At times, God let them face defeat and captivity. Why? Because they were a stiff-necked people. They wouldn't follow God's instructions. Sometimes, God has to use a 2x4 to get our attention. Have you ever found that? Yeah, those things happen. Yeah, those things happen for sure. But then they'd turn from their sin, they'd pray, they'd seek God's face, God heard them, and God would deliver them. See, God is her defense and protection. Even today, God continues to watch over Israel and protects Israel. The truth that we as believers need to pick up is that the God that we serve will protect and watch over us and protect us as we choose to walk with him, as we choose to live for him and honor him with our lives. So again, choose what? You guys are asleep. Choose what? Life. We want life in the Lord Jesus Christ for sure. Remember what Psalm 46:1 says? God is a refuge and a strength, an ever-present help in the time of trouble. Or I take it to my life's verse. 1 Peter 5:10. But the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you, make you strong, firm, and steadfast. You know, that happened early on in my life. I had a career path, two different directions that I could go. I started off at Houghton College, and I took a course, and that course was almost the death of me. As a matter of fact, it was a writing course. It was called Principles of Writing. And I took it during the summer, 4 intense weeks. After the second week, I was at the end of my rope. I remember going up to my room and saying, Lord, I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know if I can take 2 more weeks of this. Literally, if you want to know what hell's like, go through 2 weeks of Principles of Writing, having to do a paper every single day, and kind of going, I'm at the end of my string, Lord. What am I going to do? And the Lord took me to this verse, 1 Peter 5:10. And you know, that Saturday, I had something that I had to do at conference. On that Sunday, I was preaching one of my first messages in a Sunday night in some rural small church. And then on Monday morning, I had another paper. And as I was sitting there, I didn't have any of those things done. And I go, ready to throw in the towel. I'm ready to take my second option. I'm going to quit college and I'm going to go into the Navy. Literally. But God gave me that verse. I claimed that verse. And as that Saturday took place, I accomplished that. That Sunday night, that message probably was not one of the best messages that I've ever preached in my life. But it was that Sunday night. I went to Rushford Lake. I was at a promontory point there. I looked out over the lake, and the Spirit of God descended upon me and said, I've got you covered. Do you know what? I had the sense of presence of God that I could do it. I had the sense and the awareness. The next 2 weeks, were they fun? No. But God got me through those 2 weeks. And I actually got a C in that course, and it was probably the best C I ever received in my life, because I go, I made it. I survived. But you know, that verse also taught me something else. The God of all grace, my wife had multiple sclerosis. For the last 4 years of her life, she was confined to bed. And I said, God, you've given me this life verse. The God of all grace, where is your grace? You've called me to your eternal glory in Christ. I recognize that. After you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you, make you strong, firm, and steadfast. And he spoke to me and he said, I'm keeping that promise for you. But the way you see life and the way I see life is two different things. She passed away at 41 years of age. 4 years confined to bed. 4 years having a Dear Jesus patch morphine on her every single day for 4 years. And then we buried her. And God said, I've kept my word. She's restored. She's complete in him, in his presence. Zoe. Ionis, life forever. See, we got a choice. We've got a choice. And we need to choose what? I'm sorry, you're too soft. We need to choose what? Yeah, you're getting it. You're getting it. You know, I've got a whole much more here, but I know the time is gone. And I'd like to finish sharing with you Jonathan Kahn's finishing. Because in the Hebrew, death, mavat, death, it's in the singular. But chayim is another Hebrew word, which means life. Jesus is the life giver. And we all have that choice, don't we? Am I going to choose death or am I going to choose life? I have a service to do tomorrow. And yesterday I was sitting in my office thinking of a mother of about 50 years old that has passed away. And I'm sitting there thinking and struggling. A mom at 50 years old gone? And I go, Lord, I still don't know exactly what I'm going to say. But the thing is, choose life. I know. See, what's so wonderful about God's word, if you get into it daily, is that he gives you promises that makes a difference in your life. See, I'm not worried about tomorrow because I know God's going to give me the words. You know why? Go to Exodus 4:12. Because God gave me that early on in my ministry, and I've clinged to that. Now go! I will help you speak and teach you what to say. So God's got me covered. I've got confidence of what's going to take place tomorrow. As of this moment, I don't know exactly what I'm going to do. I sat in my office yesterday, and I was coming up pretty empty, and I go, this is not good. But I said, Lord, I'm waiting for you. So last night I got into bed and was laying there still thinking about what I'm going to do. And God will provide. Now go. I will help you speak and teach you what to say. What's the message today? Choose what? Ah, you've got it. You've got it. Choose life. Hey, let's stand together in prayer, shall we? Gracious Father, we thank you and praise you for being mighty God. We thank you and praise you that we have two choices here. Choose life, not just this earthly life, but eternal life. That life only comes through the Zoe life, the Kayem life that is in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Help us, Lord Jesus, to allow you to move and work mightily in each of our lives, because you've got a future for this church here, the Mosaic here in Katyville. You want to touch and transform lives. You want to re-energize and move and work mightily in this church, and you're already doing that, Lord. I see the signs of it. And I just pray, Lord, that every heart and every life will be committed to you, that we will choose you, Jesus. We will be in Christ. We will be servants of Jesus Christ. We choose life. We choose you to work in our lives on a daily basis. May we humble ourselves before you, and may we see the future of all that you're going to do in and through this place. We pray all this in Jesus' most wonderful name. Amen. The worship team is here.